to another episode of Coffee with Coaches. My name is Scott Ellis, and I'm joined by men's tennis head coach Dan Stankovic. Dan, how are things been going for you this summer so far?
Yeah, so far so good. You know, we've had a lot of changes and different ways we're working, but it's been going great. I've been enjoying the outdoors as much as possible, trying to. I'm really excited that the courts are opening up. So I know that a few of our players have been hitting the courts. So that's exciting, but it's been great so far in the summer.
Right. And men's tennis has always had an international feel to it. Because of that, with everyone spread out, how challenging has it been to stay in touch with everyone?
You know, it's challenged because we have players in California, and then we have players in Singapore and India. So trying to find a time that all of them can jump on is a challenge. However, we've been having team meetings once every 2 weeks where everybody jumps on, and we discuss the update on BU, the update on the following semester, the update on the summer. We also have these like exciting challenges that we do with the team every call. So last call was name as many women players on the women's roster as you can and where they're from, and then we kind of split them into two and whoever wins, or name as many schools that you know we've played in the past, right, and kind of challenge them. So we do those fun challenges on the call to keep it also interesting and fun. And then they have also outside challenges, how many miles can a team run this semester or this week, and or how many first serves can you hit, or film yourself hitting a funny trick shot. So we do a lot of those kind of challenges to keep everybody connected and staying together. But it's been great. I've had, I think, 4 or 5 players reach out specifically to coach, assistant coach and me, talk about how much they love these meetings. So this quarantine that has forced us to have these team meetings has been really nice. I feel that this team will be more closer than in the past once we come back, because we've been having already 4 or 5 calls with the new incomers.
Right. And you mentioned naming the players on the women's team. And that brings up a couple of questions I wanted to ask you. I mean, for yourself, you've been at BU for over a decade now, and you start off as an assistant on the women's team before moving over to the men's team. I mean, how would you describe your experience at BU working with both teams?
It's been great. I think that there's many advantages of the way my path has gone. I've worked as an assistant for Leslie for 4 or 5 years. I took a year break for my dissertation for the defending, and then I took over the men's team mid-year. But I think working with Leslie has got me, one, become a better coach, learned a lot. Even though there's some differences in men and women, as far as tennis goes, it's the same thing. So learning a lot from Leslie, also learning about everybody in the athletic department helped when I took over the men's team, because they were, oh, hey, Dan, like they already know me, versus trying to kind of go in there and get to know everybody. So I think that has also been a huge help. And I feel like the guys and the girls are over so close that at times, even though I was the assistant for the women's coach, I've coached some of the men or have said, hey, like try this, or we've played like these kind of fun challenge matches where we play mixed doubles or singles against each other, and then we laugh. So they're so connected in many ways that you kind of feel like you're a part of this huge program, not just the men's team or the women's team. And I think to this day, it's been the same. I know Leslie and Rachel know all the guys, me and Jesse know all the girls, and it's kind of like this big tennis community at BU, which is amazing experience.
Right. And speaking of experiences, the teams, y'all always, especially during spring break, usually end up going to the same destination, whether Florida or California. And I want to ask you, y'all were in Florida when the pandemic really hit the country. And what was going on during that time while y'all were training and getting ready for matches in Florida?
Yeah, I think so. We were both in Florida the women's team at the time were in Miami while we were in Orlando. So we were just in two different locations. However, for us specifically, we came there. We knew that, you know, this was going on. But, you know, BU and everyone assured us it was going to be, it's fine. And, you know, talking to all the appropriate people in Boston and health professionals. So we went there. I think the guys felt comfortable. I felt comfortable. We started practicing. We were there for a couple days. We played one match. We lost 4-3. That was close. We had chances there, but anyhow, the guys played really well. I was really proud of them. However, once the news started coming out, like the NBA, you know, stopped, and because all the internationals and a lot of the guys, Americans on the team, love the NBA, so they watch it, I think, every night. So once that stopped, they started actually having a little panic. And I think it was more in the sense of like, will I be able to get home? And more specifically, again, the international players, can I go back to Germany? Will I be able to go back home? Because the flights were starting to get canceled and the borders were starting to get closed. So what happened was basically I reassured the guys that, hey, whatever happens, we'll do the best we can in this situation. So we can't control if this flight's going to get canceled or if that border is going to get closed. But if you need to go home, you can go home now, right? So, and then that was, I think, Tuesday night. And then the Wednesday morning, we got a call from Glenn Hoffman, who's our sports AD and admin, and said, you guys are coming back to BU. And he even offered that BU was going to support the guys if they wanted to go directly home. But I think out of 9, 8 guys came back with us to Boston, and one went home. He was from Michigan, so he went home, Mark, the senior. And the other guys came back here and then got their stuff and basically went home. So I think it was kind of we were actually getting ready to go play Creighton that morning. So I picked up the team in the van. We started going into Creighton. Glenn called me. And I think we were 5 minutes. I wasn't even out of there, you know, like complex where they were staying, because they were all staying in one house, and called me and said, like, you guys are leaving in, you know, 3 or 4 hours, get packed up and go. So I turned around, told the guys, get packed up and we're going to go. I think it was they love living in one house, by the way. So it was nice and easy. I don't know what they play, games and, you know, Xboxes, and there was a big, you know, water park right there. So I seen a bunch of them at the water park. So it was really nice that they were all there, but basically that's what happened. We were going to, basically ready to go play a match, and 5 minutes into the trip, we turned around and flew back. And it was pretty, in my opinion, pretty smooth for the most part. I think that the guys already knew, because I had a talk with them the night before, that things could, you know, happen like this. So I think it was I think it was smooth, and I think it was the right call, definitely. Right.
And you mentioned Mark, actually. He was the team's lone senior, and obviously his season came to an end prematurely. What has he meant to the team? I mean, he was the president of SAC. I mean, obviously he had been a real contributor on in the lineup for the past 4 years. I mean, how disappointing was it that you weren't able to help him get back to the Patriot League tournament, try to make another run? And overall, what do you mean to the team?
Yeah, I think as far as the Patriot League goes, I think he was very upset. Obviously, I think the whole team was. I think this year they felt like, you know, we felt more prepared. We felt closer as a team. We did a lot of things that I think would have made a big influence. And usually we were on the up, going up, because we had so many injuries this year, as Mark was one of them. I think he had a back injury starting in September. So basically we were kind of bubble wrapping him, or some other guys as well, to kind of last the semester. And finally, I felt like after that first match on spring training, we were all like healthy and ready to go. So I feel like the whole team was disappointed, but he was really disappointed. Obviously he's played in all 3 conference tournaments in the past. I don't know how many matches he's won for us, but he's won a ton of matches and a bunch of, you know, really close 4-3 wins, like his sophomore year 4-3 win, clinching the match against Navy, it was three all, and he was the last one on. So, you know, he was just a leader on the team. I think since he set foot on the team, basically, his freshman year, just the things he does. He's one of those players that doesn't talk much, in the sense of he just does it. You know, he's in the weight room. He has a, you know, I don't know, a 3.5, 4.0 GPAs. I think he had a 4.0 this semester. He does so many things away from the camera, or as we call it, or off the scene, that go unnoticed, like helping guys pick their classes, helping guys going, oh, go talk to this teacher, do this. And basically just, but he doesn't, it's not that he kind of, the way he does it is so smooth. It's so like, oh yeah, I'll do that, versus you need to do that, right? So he does all these things and they just see, oh, Mark does it. So they either copy it, or if they ask him, he'll mention, but he was never in a sense of like, oh, you need to do this, which was, his leadership is unlike I've seen in the past. And another thing is, we still stay in touch, by the way. I actually just spoke to him a couple of days ago. I send him funny text messages. He sends me back. So he's going to be back watching us play. We're going to, hopefully, if the semester goes by, we can, you know, make a little kind of, you know, senior day / weekend for him in New York while he's back at work in January, when the season kind of kicks off. But I mean, he's been one of the best players ever, I think, in our program, that just does everything right. I mean, he's a BU person. He's a terrier in every sense of the form. And like you said, he was president of the SAC, which represented our team. I mean, I think he's done everything. He has basically connected the two teams, men and women, and he has connected our guys to other athletes in the department, which is a huge step forward. Because I think when I first took over, that was one of our things where, you know, we were kind of like the tennis team, but I don't know if the guys knew a lot of other people on campus. And I think he kind of bridged that over the 4 years that he was there.
Right. And speaking of the team and the roster, again, obviously you have a very international feel to it. But one of the things over the past, you know, 3-4 years has been the real impressive, I guess, just going off tennis recruiting, their rankings. You've seen a really increase in the quality of players coming to BU. And I wanted to ask you, you know, what's been the difference since you first became the head coach, and how have you and your assistant Jesse really gone out there and promote BU and try to improve the roster to become more competitive, not only in New England, but on a national stage?
Yeah, I think a couple of things go into the recruiting. I think we've done a few different things in practice, and just which reflects our performance. Recruits obviously see that, recognize that, and then I think that attracts them. But increasing the level of our schedule has also been one of the major improvements that we've had. And I think all of that helps with the recruiting. I give Jesse a lot of credit. Also, he reaches out to, I think, hundreds of American and international players a year. I think that's one of the biggest things. But again, I mean, it all comes down to we have a great school. You know, we have a great business program. We have a great communication program, great engineering. And basically, we kind of know the player that is, oh, you're a BU player. Basically, you do the initial call and you're like, oh, he seems like he could be a BU person. So I think it's also been a much better way of weeding out the ones that are, you know, that are the ones that are maybe not as you know, oh, I would really want to come to BU, versus the ones that are, you're like, okay, this player wants to come here and he is a BU person. But obviously, you know, getting some good players such as Mark, who was actually American, doing better, and then, you know, getting better players as we go on. And I think moving up in our conference, knocking off Navy a few times, and other, you know, Lehigh and other big schools, helps in the conference, but also on the national level, playing Miami's and Michigan's and, you know, all these big schools. I think those are big things.
So my next question is, coming off that, what's the next step? How do you take the program to the next level?
I think I think we're already getting in that in the right direction. We're leading, so I think advancing our practices is the a big level. I think we've already kind of made a huge difference on how we get them to the next level. Keeping up with the schedule is a big thing, because I think that us playing higher ranked teams finally gives our athletes more exposure to those challenges, and we actually win a lot of those matches. And I think that that's really the biggest thing that we can do, is just provide them the challenge that they need. Especially the fact that this year in particular, we have 5 seniors returning. So that they've been through it all. So they know how it is. So I think that just keeping up with that is one of the biggest things, like keeping up with the practice, keeping up with the schedule. I think working with 5 seniors is going to be a lot of fun and a lot easier, because they know the importance. I don't have to remind them of the importance of working out and staying in shape and eating healthy and all that. But so, and that's another thing that we've actually, by the way, done better. We've started meeting with the nutritionists more often to kind of, some guys to put on muscle, some guys to get in better shapes. Because I think at the end of the day, we've done a lot of tennis specific things, and they're good at it, and they can, obviously everyone can improve a little bit, but I think the like little things that need to be, that you need to get to that next level are the things that we're trying to now knock off, like the nutritionist, making that a little bit better, tweaking the practice a little bit better, giving them harder competition, knowing when to play which guys because of injuries and that kind of stuff. I think that's basically what's been, I think, is going to make the difference. And then also knowing, like, having them, stay in school, I think which they've done great this semester. I mean, this is one of the best GPAs they've ever had. So I'm really proud of them.
Right. And one final question. I mean, what do you love about the sport of tennis? Why have you been involved with it for so long?
So, that's actually a great question. I think I love the competition. That is my favorite. I want to go and play tennis. I like practices, but I love competing. So, and I think if you don't love to compete, I think any sport is going to be tough to, really be into. But tennis specifically, I grew up playing tennis, and I started a little late. I started around the age of 11, which most players started like 5, 8. Most of the guys on the team did start that early. And, through the first couple of years, I've been losing and losing and losing and losing and losing. And finally, you win and you get better and you're like, oh, I can do this. And then you start getting better and better and better. And as you get better, it's more fun. And as it's more fun, you start trying to, you start really loving it and doing the little things that make it a difference. So that was one of the big things why I got involved. And I always had this crazy drive of teaching. I love teaching. I love supporting people and making them feel better and making them be better people. So kind of those two things combined, being this tennis coach, is perfect for me. I do exactly, I kind of compete now through them, because I think that's actually a better way. They're really good players. So, and then I get to teach them, I get to get them, make them feel better and become better tennis players, become better people, and to compete better. And I think in the long run, they go away from here, being better people. And that's what makes me feel complete. And so I think that, playing tennis my whole life, loving to compete, and then kind of adding the other part where I learned later in life that I love to teach is everything I've dreamed of. And this is kind of all combined into one. And that's kind of why I'm here and why I love to do what I do.
Well, thank you very much for joining me, Dan, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Scott.